The life or mind of a person that now resides in a human body, it's due to the merit and virtue from the moral deeds one has done. However, some people may have received this human body and the four elements, but their mind is not human. They fall into degradation, lacking morality, sinking down to the level of animals. We can observe, for example, a person who frequently kills animals, like pigs. After doing it repeatedly, when you look at their face and eyes, they even begin to resemble a pig. This shows that their mind has already changed and deteriorated. By committing such karma repeatedly, the mind degenerates. After death, there's the opportunity in the next life to be reborn, entering the womb of a pig. Even during the Buddha's time, those who frequently killed animals and pigs, at the moment of death, experienced great suffering and cried out like pigs being slaughtered. Each deed brings its own consequences. Therefore, the mind is considered important. When we realize and understand, we strive to cultivate goodness. For example, by keeping the five precepts and practicing generosity, which is the opposite of stealing. Giving is not something easy to do. It requires faith and wisdom. One doesn't harm oneself or others while one is doing good deeds. And a higher form of giving is the giving of safety, or giving freedom from fear. Even when we dislike or feel displeased, but our minds give safety to others, that becomes an even higher form of generosity for practitioners of meditation. Even though we may not succeed in this every time the emotions arise, as by nature every mind that is born still has greed, anger, and delusion. So we struggle against the defilements, and some lose out to them, some can endure them, and some can overcome them. This is the same for every mind. Therefore, we must be careful with our mind. Even a thought can already lead to a new birth. Once, while sitting in the eating hall and having the meal, there was a sound of a chicken crowing. And at Wat Nongpa Phong then, there were many chickens. There were wild chickens, but they lived inside the monastery. There was an elderly monk who turned his eyes to look at the chicken in response to the sound. Venerable Ajahn Chah said, "Oh, he's already been reborn as a chicken." I sat listening to this and contemplated, how could he be reborn like that? The monk was just eating his meal here, and his mind was here, and he merely glanced slightly. And Venerable Ajahn Chah said that his mind had already been gone to be born as a chicken. That's how quick it is. The mind darts off. When the mind shoots towards a chicken, it means it's already been reborn there. Therefore, wherever our mind shoots out to, that's where it will be reborn. So what should we do? Since in a single day the mind goes through countless cycles of birth and death like this, then we must be cautious, very cautious. If we want to attain the highest goodness, we must control our minds, right? Not to find fault, not to harbor ill will, not to harm, and not to indulge in immoral pleasures. Being restrained and cautious in the sense doors makes the mind have right view. We must use mindfulness to control the mind, guided by wisdom and right understanding. We have right effort, right intention, and then practicing meditation, having right samadhi, concentration, and being honest and sincere. Being honest in having a livelihood that is pure, without cheating or deceiving others. This must be the foundation. And then with such a foundation, whatever wealth, property, or positions we gain, there will be no problem. But if the foundation is not good, everything can deteriorate. This is because all the greed is a very grave evil. We may have heard the saying, Attilo pohi papako. Greed is truly a great evil. Yet when people practice generosity and self-sacrifice, doing it often, they dedicate even their own wealth to support the Buddhist religion, to benefit the Sangha, to help the community, to aid the poor and the suffering, to build hospitals and such, and provide social welfare as much as possible. So we all contribute together. And the benefit of doing good is not that others gain first, but that we ourselves gain it first. We gain the virtue of charity or selflessness. As we keep practicing, the greed in our hearts disappears. The desire to take what belongs to others no longer exists. Instead, we become givers. For example, the wealthy layman Anattapindika was known only for giving, and Lady Visakha was also known only for giving both wealth and wisdom. When giving wisdom and knowledge, the benefit is even greater than giving material wealth. Therefore, those who share knowledge and understanding with others, it's also giving a precious treasure, a noble wealth. The Buddha taught that giving the Dhamma is the highest form of giving. The Dhamma itself is the supreme gift. We too can share Dhamma by encouraging and supporting one another. This is also giving Dhamma. For example, today there are people who practice goodness by offering alms, robes, food, and kitchen supplies, sacrificing for the Sangha. With this support, the monks gain strength to study, practice, and seek principles, knowledge, and understanding in the path of Dhamma practice. When we give strength to others, we ourselves also gain strength and freshness in life through having goodness, generosity, and morality. By doing this, and then having determination in Dhamma practice and meditation, then even as lay people, the paths and fruits of Nibbana are not closed off to us at all. When we firmly uphold the five precepts, it's already a very high level. The mind becomes beautiful, refined, and virtuous. Can you see? The mind arises anew. The original mind did not know much. Being born, it sometimes does good, sometimes does bad, hardly aware at all. But once we know, we strive to abandon the bad and unskillful, we cultivate goodness and uphold morality. It's no different to the monks. Don't assume that those in higher positions, like monks, are necessarily higher than lay people. That's not always true. In this era, just as in the Buddha's time, there were lay people who had sila dhamma, morality, and practiced even better than monks. Therefore, everyone must not be careless. Even as monks, one should not be negligent, but should practice diligently, since we already have the opportunity and the time. Sometimes monks hear that certain lay people have strong concentration and good meditation practice, while they have not yet attained that level. So we must then put in more effort to reach it. We must strive with determination, because we already have such good opportunities. Perform the morning and evening chanting, do walking meditation, sit in meditation. But if instead, after eating and receiving the four requisites, we just relax, sleep, and indulge in laziness, that's very bad and becomes heavy karma. Because everything we receive comes from sadhu, the faithful support of lay people. Even if they donate only 10 cents, 50 cents, or a dollar, it's still given wholeheartedly according to their ability. Sometimes a person gives little, but their minds are deeply intent to do it, and the mind is of a high level. Sometimes building just one monk's dwelling may cost a huge amount, but a donor with only 1,000 may still build a small hut to offer for use in meditation practice because they see its value. One cannot sit out under the sun and rain, so when the donation is made with faith and devotion, then the merit gained is still very great. Merit cannot be measured in money or wealth. It depends on the mind. The mind is the chief, the leader, and everything is accomplished through the mind. When we practice generosity and charity regularly, then gradually we also keep the moral precepts. These qualities grow step by step, level by level. When we uphold morality that is good and beautiful, the generosity and morality brings happiness and peace to the heart. So we continue to practice diligently and patiently. Whether it's sunny or it rains, we must continue practicing until we develop genuine interest in listening to the Dhamma, in sitting meditation, and in training the mind to higher levels. We must protect and take care of our mind carefully, because the mind arises quickly, and it can be reborn as a bird, a gecko, or even a pig. It all depends on karma, our actions and mental intentions. Therefore, we must guard our mind very carefully. After death, this body falls apart. If we die and the results of bad karma arise, a lowered mind state arises, then one may be reborn as a hungry ghost. This is possible for even those who did great acts of merit. Have you heard of King Asoka? He accumulated the greatest merit and spiritual development in his time and gave immense support to Buddhism. Yet before his death, he still wished to give more, but his ministers would not allow it because the royal treasury was already depleted and funds were scarce. He felt a little disheartened. When I had power, who would dare oppose me like this? Now I am lying here near death, and I ask to make merit once more, yet they won't allow it. With such a thought, his mind became slightly lowered. As a result, he was reborn as a python, searching for frogs and toads to eat. However, his relative, who was an arahant, entered deep meditation and saw why King Asoka had been reborn as a python. He went to teach and guide him. He reminded him of who he truly was. "You are King Asoka. Why would you now commit such unwholesome deeds?" The python still had merit, for he had accumulated much in the past. Thus, he stopped eating and refused to take food. Eventually, he died, and his merit immediately led him to be reborn in a heavenly realm. Therefore, the mind at the moment before death arises in just a flash. It's extremely important. It's like a herd of cows in a pen. Whether they are 10 or 20, the cow standing at the gate is the one ready to go out first. When the gate is opened, the weakest and smallest cow standing at the front goes out first, even while the bigger and stronger ones remain inside the pen. Because it is at the front of the gate, it goes out first. Likewise, the karma that gives its results, that carries over into the next life, is the karma at the moment of death. Therefore, we must train our minds in the present to always do wholesome deeds. Our regular habits and actions, such as chanting, doing group pujas, Dhamma practice, undertaking the moral precepts, and practicing meditation. By training our mind in this way, it becomes easier to recall goodness and to remember our intention to do good. We can remember those images and sounds. For instance, when we keep saying sadhu, sadhu, every day, it remains in our nervous system. Sometimes when we hear any sound that resembles sadhu, and the mind immediately recalls sadhu. Like some people listen to music so much that the music echoes in their nervous system in the brain. In the same way, if we sincerely rejoice with sadhu, sadhu, again and again, it will also echo deep within our nervous system. We will remember it clearly and at the same time continue our mental cultivation and practice. All these merits and goodness accumulate. And then, when the final moment of life comes, when we have to leave this world, we will go to a fortunate rebirth that is of merit and goodness. But if, by mistake, one lapses and is reborn in a lower realm, then what happens? One can't yet access one's own merits and goodness. Then one has to rely on the merits dedicated to them by others in this world. In the Buddha's time, the hungry ghosts, who were King Bimbisara's relatives, could only receive merit after enduring suffering for a very long time, longer than the period from one Buddha to the next. King Bimbisara offered robes to the Blessed One for him to give blessings. The hungry ghosts gave their sadhu. They rejoiced in the merit dedicated by the king, and thus were reborn in a good state. But it required a long wait and much suffering. That is why we should perform wholesome deeds in advance, without harming others, and with a sincere, determined mind. We cannot just wait for others to dedicate merits to us. We must build our own merit first. So we aren't negligent. We remain established in goodness. And everything will be able to be accomplished through our mind that is firmly established in virtue, merit, and goodness. And we have satisfaction, wholesome desire, determination, and effort. And we also cultivate an attentive and reflective mind, using wisdom to discern and to understand the difference between merit and demerit, benefit and harm. And ultimately, this leads to success. The students succeed in their studies, workers succeed in their tasks, and practitioners succeed in their practice at every level. Concentration and wisdom both improve. So I rejoice and express my appreciation to all of you, near and far, who cultivate the spiritual qualities through generosity, morality, and meditation. May these be offered as a homage to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, and not to any individual. May prosperity and blessings come to each and every one of you.